If you go traveling around much on roads, one of the signs that you will often see, if you're anywhere where there are hills, and especially if you go into the mountains, are these falling rock signs, these caution signs that tell you you are in an area where rocks may come down. Typically, it's because they've cut through the hillside or they've cut through the mountain, and that's loosened up these various rocks that are there. Now, sometimes when you look around, you see, you know, on the hillside, you see these rocks, and maybe they're this big or that big, and you may even look and say, well, there's plenty of shoulder over there. If those little things come down, I don't know what the big deal is. But every now and then, a really good-sized rock or boulder comes down. And we'll show you a picture. A year ago, a 20-ton boulder blocked a lane of Highway 50 in Northern California. And if you go into that area in the last few years up through the Northwest, that's been happening quite a bit, where these large boulders come crashing down and block roads, and they have to be dealt with. Now, I want you to keep that imagery in mind as we read through this passage. And we're looking at Peter's life, and last week we saw how Peter confessed, identified that he was a believer, that he believed that Jesus was the Son of the living God. But one of the things I hope you begin to see about Peter is that sometimes the guy can be a complete doofus. He really can. You know, we have this tendency, we want to put, you know, Saint Peter and put a big halo around his head. Remember, I mean, he wasn't a Rhodes Scholar pulled in from somewhere. He was a fisherman. He wasn't a rabbi. He was just a guy that had a heart that Jesus could work with. But that didn't mean that he never got anything wrong. And so we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to see one of these big doofus moments from him. And it says in verse 21 of Matthew 16, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders." And this video that we just watched portrayed what that looked like. It made me give you a sense of what that would feel like. And so when he says this, Peter begins to get an image in his mind, as we've seen here, of the kind of suffering a person can go through. And it says that he must even be killed on the third day and be raised to life. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Now, I like that image. This is, again, can you picture this in your mind? One minute, Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God." The next minute, he's saying, "Son of the living God, come over. Can I talk to you just a minute? I want to chat for this whole death, suffering thing. Not going to happen. Not on my watch." Sometimes we don't put two and two together very well, do we? But Peter thought he could do it. That's one of the things I think that Jesus actually loved about Peter. But Peter turns to him. He hears this. You might say, I would love to see the look, real look on his face, when he says, "That's not going to happen. I'm not going to let that happen." And you wonder, did Jesus give him, you know, the dog turn face, you know, like, "Really? You think you can stop this from happening?" Does he get a grin on his face a little bit? Does he furrow the brow? Look what he says. "Get behind me, Satan." Ouch. Ouch. "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Well, yeah. Who wants their friends to suffer and die? But Peter's got some learning to do. We have some learning to do. Jesus reveals where his road is taking him. He says, guys, you know, you've seen me do the miracles. You've heard the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm teaching. Let me tell you, we're not just going to do this for another 30, 40 years. This road has a destination. And Peter says to him, I don't want to go there. I don't like that destination. And I'm going to be a roadblock. See the imagery? Remember that imagery, that picture, this road? Peter, the rock, says, I'm blocking that path, Jesus. I'm going to put myself right here between you and Jerusalem and suffering and death. You shall not pass. For you Lord of the Rings fans, you know. Now, all of this reminds us of a few things that we need to get a hold of. First off, that God's ways are not our ways. Believe it or not, take that to heart. Look at what we read in Isaiah. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. That's a hard one for us to get our minds wrapped around, but we must get our minds wrapped around this one. Because we tend to look at the world one way and think this is how things ought to be. And this is how, because how things ought to be, this is how God needs to act and respond and things he needs to do. And we often want to pull God into our understanding of the universe rather than allowing ourselves to be pulled into his understanding of the universe. And we want to go with his way because he created it. Many years ago, when I was a smart, intelligent, mature 18-year-old, I was having a car that was having some trouble, and I'd find myself every now and then trying to prime the carburetor. If you don't know what a carburetor is, ask your grandpa. And so one time I pulled into the 7-Eleven gas station, raised my hood, and I needed some kind of container to put a little gas into so I could pour it into the carburetor. Some of you are nodding your head like, yes, I understand what you're saying. Others of you are looking at me like, was this back in the days of the rotary phones? Yes. Yes, it was. Okay. Which was just after the tin cans and string thing going. So I get a hold of a styrofoam cup. Now, some of you obviously have advanced degrees in chemistry because you know where this is going. And but before I could get the gasoline in there, a man who obviously didn't know anything about what he was talking about said, that's not going to work. And I looked at him like, dude, I'm 18. I have a high school diploma. I got this. Okay. What happens when you put gasoline into styrofoam? Anybody? It dissolves. Just chemistry lesson. That's free. Okay. There you go. Don't do it. Yeah, it just boom. So, in other words, just because I thought this is how it should be, doesn't mean that's how it is. And there's a lot of stuff in life like that, isn't there? Just because we think this is how I want it to be, because I really wanted it to be that way, doesn't mean that's automatically how it is. And God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. And Peter had to learn that, and you and I have to learn that. We'll look in a little bit further. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must, not should, not might want to consider, might not want to reflect on, but must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life, Peter, are you listening? But whoever will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. So here's God's way. And that is, for us, God's way is surrender. God's way is the way of surrender. Peter doesn't like that. And chances are most of us don't like that either. Jesus surrendered his life for ours. And we surrender ours for the kingdom. Get that? This is the way of surrender. Jesus gives his life up for us. We give our life up for him. It is the way of surrender. And that is not the way of human thinking, is it? We see this at work every day. You just turn on the news and you see in Washington, D.C. Is that the way of surrender? Are people saying, look, let's compromise. Let's figure out a middle way. Let's figure something out. No, it is win or lose, do or die, my way or no way. I love this phrase that gets used, these public servants, when service is often the last thing on anyone's mind. We want to hold on to our life. We want to hold on to what we want. We don't want to surrender. But we need to remember what Jesus goes on here to say. What good will it be? What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Remember when Jesus was tempted with that? Remember when the devil, as if it was his to give, said, listen, let's make a deal, Jesus. If you will worship me, I'll give you things. I'll give you the world. As if he could give it. Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. So what's Peter up to? Peter wants Jesus to gain this life. It's as if he's saying to Jesus, look, you can have a nice ministry here, Jesus. A good 30 or 40 years, retire. Hey, maybe I'll take your place when you're done. He doesn't want him to lose his life. He wants to gain this life, this world. But that would have been a roadblock to God's plans. And Jesus wasn't having any of that. He wasn't going to play that game. Jesus would not exchange the glory of the kingdom for this passing world. He wouldn't. And let me ask you a question. Would you? Do you? Which one are you exchanging? What are you trying for? What are you more interested in gaining? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of men? The eternal kingdom or this passing world? Now, before you say, oh yeah, I want that eternal kingdom thing, ask yourself on those daily decisions that you make, moment by moment, those little exchanges, which one are you exchanging for? Which one are you trying to gain? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we're usually going after this world, this passing world, this life. So what is it in this world that you are trying to gain? Ask yourself that. Reflect on that this moment. Let me give you just a few things. Is it power? Are you trying to get power? Now, when you see power, you think of people in high-rise buildings exchanging power, exercising power over other kingdoms, other worlds, other... Not worlds, that's stupid. there's a reason I write it down first. Countries, states, cities, corporations, businesses, these type of things. We want power. But that's how what we think of. But sometimes we just want power over our spouses. let me get off of that toe right there that I stepped on. We want power over our employees, our colleagues. That's where most of us live, in the power area, isn't it? Or maybe what we're after are possessions. We have bought into that thought that if you get the most toys at the end, indeed you do win. And some people, it's not so much, I've got to have a lot of stuff, I just have to have the best stuff or newer stuff. And there are some people that just want stuff. They don't care what it is. You ever turn on one of those hoarders TV show? It's just, give me more stuff. I cannot throw it away. My wife reminds me of this. When we were cleaning out my father's apartment, she said, does this seem familiar to you at all? No, it doesn't. Leave me alone. Go away. Or how about pleasure? What are we looking for there? How much are we after pursuing to make sure we have it easy? Or sometimes to go into areas that are outside of God's boundaries, just so we can feel good for a little bit. Well, let me take it to you at another level. What do I fear, though? What do I fear losing if I were to pick up my cross? Sometimes it's not just what we gain, it's we're afraid of what we'll lose if I literally pick up my cross, which is not, you know, let me put on a nice gold chain or cross on a chain and wear that. It's not some burden to bear. The cross was an instrument of death. Picking up my cross means dying to myself. So what am I afraid I'm going to lose if I truly picked up my cross? Is it control? If I pick up my cross, I give up control over my life as if we have any. You think you have control, and then the tiniest of viruses gets into your gastro system. And you realize you have no control. You're not leaving anywhere. You're not going anywhere. The tiniest little bugs can just put you down. You think you have control. And so you have to exercise control over other people. You have to have your way. Is it security? If I pick up my cross, I'll lose security. What is security? We need to remind ourselves this. No one gets out of this life alive. None of us. And I don't mean to be crass, because I know death is a painful, painful thing. And the fear of it is very real. But sometimes we think we can be so secure that we can somehow even avoid death itself. Or we won't lose finances. We won't lose loved ones. If I could just be secure, and we often exchange things for security. Am I afraid that I'll lose friends and family members if I really truly decided to follow after Jesus? Or maybe it's life itself. Let me tell you right now, there are people in this world right now who, if they claim Jesus Christ, are losing their lives. You may not be aware of this, but in India right now, the nationalist Hindu movement is trying to purge, and one of their leaders has said, we will rid India of Muslims and Christians by 2021. That's very real. That's not just getting, you know, mocked on Facebook for a position you took. That's people losing their lives simply because they believe and preach the gospel of Jesus. So here's a question for us. As you think about the exchanges you are making, and I can't tell you what they are. Only you know what they are. Only the Holy Spirit right now could be whispering to you about what they are. And let me suggest to you, this happens for me. The harder you push back on something, that's probably meant something that's hit home. That's the area you should look at. So here's a question. Are you getting a good deal for your soul? If you've been trading up bits and bits of your soul for control and security and family and friends and all those things, possessions, power, pleasure. Are you getting a good deal? I remember when I was younger, and I've learned this, and maybe some of you younger folks can take heart. I know it's hard. You see somebody with a little bit of gray, just a little bit of gray on their face. And you think, what does that dude know? But let me tell you, things that I thought, oh, I got to have this. I've got to have this. That thing is long gone. It wore out. It rusted out. It's just gone. And usually as soon as I got it, I thought, why did I get this? What little lie did I believe that said this thing will make you whole and complete as a human being? So are you getting a good deal for your soul? I can't answer that. Only you can answer that. Think about it. And are you ready for a change? If you realize you're not getting a good deal, are you ready for a change? If that boulder in your life, if there is this boulder that is standing between you and God's way, if you have been trying to block God's way in your life and not let Him have His way in your heart, if you've like, I want to do things my way and I'm going to block it all out, if that's how you've been living, but you're ready for a change, I want you to know this morning we're going to give you an opportunity to speak that out to the Lord. Remember that boulder we saw at the beginning of the message? They had to get it out of the way. So this is what they did. Watch it again. Watch it again. Now I want you to know, because I want you to think, what if that boulder's in your heart right now? And it needs to be demolished. It needs to be blown up. The Son of the Living God wants to remove that boulder out of the way in your heart, in your life, in your way. So He can come and work in you. And it begins with a confession, an admittance that that boulder is there. That you have placed something between you and God's will. You've been chasing after power, pleasure, possessions, control, security. You pick your list. And you've given up some aspect of your soul that you would love to have back now. Troy is going to lead us in a time of confession. And I just ask you, just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God about that boulder.
When Byron kind of shared what he was going to talk about, I just thought it would be important for us to individually and as a congregation just to have some time to pray over this. Because I think if you're like me and like most of us, we do leave those boulders set up. So we're just going to have a time to confess that to God. Before we sing our song, we're just going to, I'm going to lead us in a time of confessing over some of these things. So I'm just going to pray, and then I'll have some time set up that I'll pause and that you'll be able to pray and confess some things. So if you would pray with me this morning. God, we come this morning and we admit, we confess that there are too many times in our lives where we allow blockades to stop you from moving in us or through us. So individually and as a group, we want to say sorry, and we want to invite you to come in and, just like the video we watched, to blow up those rocks, to blow up those blockades in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. So God, this morning, if we are seeking power over you, we confess. God, we live in a society where things are so important, and so often we choose possessions over others, over Jesus. So we say we're sorry, we confess this to you. God, too often we want life to be easy. We want it to feel good. And we choose pleasure. So God, we're sorry. We repent. We say we're sorry for the times we choose pleasure instead of picking up our cross. God, for the times we choose to stay afraid, we allow fear to dominate our hearts and our thoughts. We don't want to give up control or security, or afraid we're going to offend or hurt or move away from our family and friends, or maybe even cost us our life, at least the life we understand. God, we confess this to you. God, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, you come in and blow up the obstacles in our hearts and in our lives. God, if there are obstacles that you've placed on our heart this morning, just as Byron said, sometimes we want to just push that away, and that's not really, that's our own thoughts. That's not the Holy Spirit speaking. God, instead of pushing away, come and move. Don't allow us to push that away. Give us a friend, an elder, a staff member to talk to. Give us a word of encouragement that's going to change our lives so that we can live fully for you. God, we confess that we are sinners and we need Jesus. And we thank you that we can cry out and say that we need you and you are there. In Jesus' name, amen.